Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I am joined today by Tristan Backman. And yes, this is not Tuesday, this is Monday, but you are hearing this late Monday, probably during or after Monday Night Football. We'll talk about Monday Night Football on Wednesday's show when we'll have Brian Wilson to talk about the Week 3 slate of games. But I wanted to have Tristan back on to recap some of Week 2. So thank you very much for coming on, my man. And how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to talk about some of these Week 2 kind of takeaways. We're going to talk about 10 things we're concerned about. We each have 5, and we'll kind of go back and we'll kind of go back and forth. I am stumbling over my words early on. Why don't we just get right to it?
Let's go ahead and get into it.
All right. So let's start with the number one concern you have coming out of Sunday was.
I'd say for me, it's the Saints offense without Drew Brees. That's a big concern for me. I'm as big of a Teddy Bridgewater supporter as they would come. Obviously, coming from Louisville, I don't see that offense being nearly as high-powered, and I'm worried about how they're going to respond with Brees out for 6 weeks, possibly more. That's just the original timetable right now. What I will say is I think the Saints are going to feed their running game a lot more. I think that the talent around Bridgewater is good enough for him to succeed. I'd like to see what he does this week with a full week of practice with the first team and full week of reps with them. But right now, I'm still a little bit worried about him. He got thrown into the fire yesterday against the St. Louis Rams. They played well. Saints did not. I'm interested to see how they play next week against the Seahawks.
Yeah, absolutely. I was concerned about defense as well, and I was concerned about the Dallas Cowboys defense. I thought they looked kind of soft against the Redskins. I thought Case Keenum put together like this miraculous kind of cut them up third and fourth quarter. And I get it. They were blowing out the Redskins, and there's probably nothing to worry about, but 2 weeks in a row at points, they've kind of looked soft on defense, and especially against a Redskins team that maybe has more wide receiver talent than we expect with Terry McLaurin, who is very good at this point. But I'm just a little bit concerned by some of the soft coverage I saw for the Dallas Cowboys. But other than that, I really liked the way the Cowboys looked on Sunday.
Yeah, I didn't get to catch much of that game, but I think Dak Prescott, I mean, I'm on the offensive side for them. I think they look really good. Dak looks really good. He's really surprised me this year. I've seen some, a lot of improvements from him. Losing Gallup's going to hurt them for a couple weeks, but they still have a lot of firepower on offense. The offensive coordinator, we talked about that last week, he is bringing a different vibe to the Dallas offense. The defense, I think it's still a solid defense. It's still early. I'm not going to overreact to the Cowboys defense getting – I mean, I didn't really see it much, but it sounds like Case Keenum did have a couple good drives against them, put some together some good stuff. So we'll see what they do next week. I'm not sure who they play off the top of my head, but we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see on the Cowboys defense. I think that's a valid – kind of argument there. I do like the way they've looked throughout this. What do you think about what's the second thing that you were kind of concerned about in the games on Sunday?
For me, it's probably for the Broncos. I'd probably say that let's go ahead and get into them. For them, Royce Freeman looked good again. Well, we talked about that last week. He looked really good. He got one less touch than Phillip Lindsay, but I think Royce Freeman deserves more touches moving forward. I felt like the offense moved the ball down the field more when he was getting touches. He got a lot of touches in the fourth quarter, and the offense was getting into the inside the 10-yard line. I still think Phillip Lindsay's going to have a big role in the offense, but I think Royce Freeman is going to be a – he's going to be a big player for them this year. And then I'm also worried about Garrett Bowles. He looked awful yesterday. He had, like, 5 holding penalties. He's, like, led the league in holding, like, the last 2 years. It's really bad. Don't know what Elway saw in him. He was a 25-year-old out of, into the NFL draft 2 years ago. And that I wouldn't have drafted him just based on his age. But, you know, I'm hoping he can turn it around. But he's running out of time, man. He really is.
Yeah, Garrett Bowles is concerning, to say the least. But I don't really understand the Broncos fans saying bench him, because behind him you have basically –
Yeah, you don't have anybody behind him. You can't bench Garrett Bowles right now. They're not in a position to.
They don't have the depth, especially with Juwan James out. You just – you don't have that kind of depth to do that right now. And clearly I put some of the blame on I don't know where that reverb's coming. I think you're on here through a second service too, Tristan, if you wouldn't mind getting on.
I'm closing that out. Okay. I forgot. I guess I didn't close it out.
The Broncos, what concerns me is that Mike Munchak didn't really – I don't know. He didn't really – it seems like he hasn't helped out that much. And I thought that that was going to be a really key offseason addition for this team, was the addition of a good O-line coach. And he just doesn't seem like he's that great thus far.
Not yet, but I don't think – we got to give him some time to work with the O-line. I think this is still an O-line in progress, I think. First off, our right tackle's not healthy. That hurts us right now. Ronald Leary's just now getting back from his injuries. So I think waiting on that is let's just be patient with that. Mike Munchak has proven himself as one of the best O-line coaches in the league. Let's be patient with him. If it's like week 8, we're not seeing any improvements, then we can start to worry about it.
Yeah, I suppose so. Moving to my second concern, and I'll jump around here a little bit. The Broncos pass rush. Yes, they got to Trubisky. They got some pressures. They got some quarterback hits. Still no sacks for this team, which is concerning. And Von Miller is, I don't know, dude. Like, even in the run game, he's kind of invisible. I have not heard his name called on one single play the Broncos have played this year, and that's very concerning to me.
It is a concern. I think Von's been pretty invisible thus far, you know. I was saying on Twitter the last drive, that's a drive that usually Vaughn makes a big play on that drive. He'll make a big sack. So I hope that next week against the Packers O-line, who we saw get exploited by the Bears, maybe he can get it going then. But one thing I will say about the Broncos, and Bradley Chubb looked really good yesterday, I thought.
He looked great.
He looked really good stopping the run, and that was a struggle that – a lot of people said last year, they said Bradley Chubb is just a pass rusher. He can't stop the run. But yesterday I saw a different Bradley Chubb. He didn't really get to the quarterback that much. Obviously got a roughing the passer in the end of the game. That was the bad call. But we're not going to talk about that. But he looked good stopping the run, got off his blocks quick, and he made some good plays.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, Bradley Chubb was impressive in this game, and he's really impressed me both weeks. He has clearly taken a step forward. He is a defensive force to be reckoned with, and I would say just a tier maybe under Von Miller. I'd like to see him do more in the pass rush, like I've been saying. Yeah. But I really hope that they can get to Rodgers next week, because I fear that they might not be able to.
I kind of
fear that Aaron Rodgers is going to scoot away from pressure, because in that Vikings game that the Packers played, the Packers protected Aaron Rodgers really well.
I didn't see any of that. I didn't really get to watch any of the 1 o'clock games as much. Cool stuff, but from what I heard, they looked better on the O-line.
Yeah, they looked way better on the O-line. And I watched them just on Game Pass this morning. They looked really, really good. The next thing you're concerned about.
For me, it is probably going to be, as it loads up, I'm worried about the Steelers without Big Ben. This is a team that really worried me after week one with Big Ben. Without him, I don't know how this team's going to react. I mean, Mason Rudolph played well in the second half yesterday from what I've watched, but I'm not sure he's ready yet, and I'm not sure the Steelers' offense is built for him to run that. This hurts Juju, who everybody expected to take a big step forward. This hurts him. I mean, he'll still get his, but, you know, Big Ben, they're not going to be able to go down the field as much, in my opinion. I'm worried about the running game. James Conner hasn't looked very good thus far. And I worry about that team without him. I don't think they're going to do anything this year. And keep in mind, this was my AFC North preseason pick. So that's saying something. And I think they're finishing third right now.
Yeah, I thought Mason Rudolph looked okay in that game. I thought the biggest story in that game was how good Russell Wilson looked. I thought he put up one of his better games, even though the first quarter or so wasn't great as far as protection went. I thought Russell Wilson played one of his better games of his career sneakily, even though you didn't really see it in the stat line a ton. I love the way that this Seahawks team looks right now on the other side. I think they are an absolute force to be reckoned with. And in an NFC, which is now wide, in my opinion, wide open, kind of after what the Saints are going through with Drew Brees, which I'm sure we'll get to, I just think the Seattle Seahawks are an absolute contender and a team that can be there at the end of the year as one of the best in the conference.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Seahawks have looked really good as far as this season. Russell Wilson, I've always been a big believer in him. He's probably the third or fourth best quarterback in football. He's a special player. They have special weapons around him this year. The defense is still good. I think they are seriously a contender, and they're definitely challenging the Rams in the NFC West for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. The next thing I would say I was really concerned by in week two was Mitch Trubisky. I didn't think he looked good again. I thought he looked
pretty bad,
again. And I don't know. I have a lot of rope with Mitchell Trubisky just because I've seen the good that he can do, and I'm really encouraged by it. But he has never had a stretch like this where he is just consistently missing a ton of throws, and he's not really ever making that kind of wow throw, at least through these first two games, that you're excited to see. By the way, I don't know if you're watching Monday Night Football, but what a tremendous catch by Odell Beckham just barely.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, that was crazy. He's a very
– I don't even know. They better get to the line because I don't know if that's a catch. It looked like he only got 1 foot into me. But I don't know. Back to Mitch Trubisky. I just think throughout his career, he's always had great throws in the middle of some head-scratching throws. And he just hasn't had any great throws in the last 2 weeks. I'm very concerned about what he is at this point in his career. I'm not sure what he is, and I don't know. I think it's way too early to say the Bears should maybe think about moving on, but certainly if he doesn't get any better through the next 3 or 4 weeks, there's a major question in Chicago as to if they have an answer at quarterback.
Yeah, I could see it happening. He did not look very good yesterday. His best throw of the game was his last throw of the game. And it was just Broncos were playing soft coverage. I don't know why. But, he missed a lot of throws. Their offense looks stagnant again. And I just don't – I'm not sure about him right now. Their offense looks awful. But their defense is still the best in the league. And Pinheiro looks like a really good kicker. I'm not really sure what to think of the Bears right now. That's one of the teams that I was going to talk about later, but you can go ahead and get into them now. They're just Trubisky, he's a question mark right now. The running game, I don't know if Nagy's really committed to David Montgomery. Like, they gave him a lot of work last week, this just yesterday. But after that, I didn't really, like, the week before that, he didn't get any work. And I'm worried about, like, what they're going to do offensively, the weapons. Allen Robinson didn't do anything yesterday. And we'll see, though. I think Trubisky is talented enough to make these improvements over the next couple weeks, and that remains to be seen. If not, the Bears have a huge question mark going into next offseason, this upcoming offseason. And it's crazy we're already talking about that, but they're not going to be able to do anything this year in season to address the quarterback issue. But if Trubisky doesn't fix it, like you said, they could be talking about, you know, acquiring a quarterback through the draft, through trade, through free agency, depending on where they're at.
Yeah, I just don't know. You just haven't seen a ton from him in the last few weeks, which is strange because down the stretch last year, I thought he looked good, honestly. I thought he looked good down the stretch last year, especially in that Eagles game in the playoffs, but he just hasn't been able to carry that over to 2019 at all.
Yep, not yet.
Yeah. So that was me. So how many have you done now?
I have done three.
All right, so we're on to four with you.
Yeah, my fourth one is Cam Newton. It's from Thursday night, but he didn't look very – he does not look healthy. We talked about that last week. He looks – he still looks very banged up. That offense doesn't look too great. It's like if McCaffrey, he's really good, but he didn't have a great game, so forced Cam Newton to throw the ball. And when we saw Cam Newton throwing the football, it wasn't that pretty. It was – it wasn't a great show of that. I'm worried about them. I just can't see them. I don't know. Maybe in that division with the Saints, you know, maybe they can get a couple wins here early on in the season and compete. But I don't know. Not right now, the way Cam Newton looks. He does not look healthy. I'm curious if they're hiding an injury with him or something. But we'll see with them. It's just kind of like Trubisky. It's a question mark.
It'll be interesting. I don't really know, man. He makes some good throws still, but he just misses so many throws, and I don't know. I have never been a huge Cam Newton fan outside of maybe his MVP year. I've never really thought he was a consistent top 10 NFL quarterback. And I don't know. It's just really hard to – because he seems like a different player. They don't run with him anymore. His body, I don't think, can take the stress that puts on him. And I don't know. It's just kind of sad to see that this might be the Cam Newton we get till the end of his career. And the end of his career might be 2 or 3 years at this point.
Yeah, he's banged up. He can't really stay healthy. I'm worried about him. But, you know – nothing you can do at this point.
Yeah, I suppose so. That is another kind of good point. The fifth thing you're worried about?
For me, it'd probably be I really am worried about if the Giants decide to start Eli Manning again.
Good for you. Today, they left the door open. So
yeah, I saw that. I just don't see how you – start him again. The guy is not – he's not revolutionary at this point. He's not even, like – he's not special anymore. I mean, the Giants just need to grow a pair and cut ties with him. They simply – as simple as that. I don't know why they won't, but Daniel Jones deserves a shot. I mean, Saquon Barkley looks – I mean, he's a generational running back, and you're going to waste the first couple of years of his career when we already know running backs' careers – are lower on mileage than other positions, and let's not waste the first couple of years of Saquon's career with Eli Manning. That's essentially where I stand. It's rough. Just give Dan Jones a shot, man. That's all I want.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he plays on Tuesday. A brief non sequitur. Onto the field walks Trevor Siemian for – the Jets, our former quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And I will be honest. I think the Jets could survive with Trevor Siemian. I really do think they could. I think they could win one or two games with two or three games with him. He's not a bad quarterback.
Yeah, for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I never really understood the Trevor Siemian and in Broncos country. I always thought he was given a raw deal behind a bad offensive line. I wish they would have given him a little bit more time because I think he does have the talent to be a starting level quarterback in the NFL. Maybe not a franchise quarterback, but a starter for sure. I never really
understood the
breakup.
Yeah. He showed it some games.
So I'll be interested to see how they use Trevor Siemian tonight and if he makes any throws. He made some good throws in the preseason as he gets sacked by the vaunted Cleveland defense. But anyways, yeah, so that's just a brief non sequitur on Trevor Siemian. For me, concern number five comes with Matt Ryan. I don't know, man. The Falcons won that game last night, and
it was ugly.
But it was Julio Jones that won that game for them. It was not Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan threw three killer picks. He threw two killer picks in week one. And I was thinking about it. I don't think he's looked good since week 7 or week 10 last year. I forget which one it was. But I just think he hasn't looked good from the end of last year kind of into this year.
He hasn't looked good so far. I mean, obviously, you know, he threw the ball to Julio Jones, and that got him the win last night. That was an ugly game for both quarterbacks, in my opinion. I think Carson Wentz threw three picks, too. That was ugly. I'm worried about the Falcons still. I worried about them last week. I'm worried about them this week. That's the other team I'm worried about. Because I still don't see the running game, and we talked about that last week. The Falcons are a better team when they can run the football. Devontae Freeman doesn't look like he's like fully healthy yet. But Dan Quinn said he was fully healthy and he hyped him up heading into the year. Haven't seen it yet. Falcons defense, there's potential there. They played decently yesterday. The Eagles should have won that game if not for Nelson Aguilar dropping the touchdown pass at the end. But it remains to be seen. Falcons, like the Panthers, they have an open shot now at the NFC South. I mean, with the Saints, you know, they're going to be treading water for 6 weeks. You could see the Falcons take the lead in that division. I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm interested to see how how Matt Ryan plays next week. Maybe avoid some turnovers and see if he can do that.
All right. So any other takeaways from week one? I'm willing to have more than 10. I think we've kind of narrowed our scope down to about three or four games that we both kind of watch. Have you gotten a chance to watch anything on Game Pass yet? Or did I catch it too early in the week?
I have not. I'm going to watch some more tomorrow and stuff. But, I did watch a little bit of the Ravens. I mean, obviously – I think Lamar Jackson just looks so good. Him and Patrick Mahomes, probably the front runners for MVP right now. It's early, but
yeah, I was just
impressed with Lamar. You know, it's opposite from last week. I mean, but he still threw the ball well, but it was with his legs this week.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the 6 yards on the ground last week. He had like 100, like 13 or something like that. But, yeah, Mahomes looked dominant in the second quarter. I've never seen a quarterback look that good. Emmanuel Sanders looks really good. That catch that he made, I know you saw that. That was a really good – that was really impressive.
Yeah, let's talk about the Broncos for another second. I don't know why they – Joe Flacco threw the ball. I just looked at the stat line for this game. I watched that game. It didn't feel like it, but he threw the ball 50 times yesterday.
I didn't even know that either.
That's pretty insane. He threw the ball 50 times yesterday.
Well, I mean, you got to think, though, garbage time and – not garbage time, but the fourth quarter, he was throwing the ball a lot, no huddle offense.
I saw an interesting stat. The Broncos got 27 first downs, and that matched with what the Patriots and the Cowboys got yesterday. They got 27 first downs.
We actually moved the ball against the Bears. We just couldn't finish drives. Obviously, a lot of that has to go to the penalties. There were killer penalties. Ronald Leary had a couple killer penalties. So did Garrett Bowles. And, you know, we got down into the, you know, red zone a couple times in the second half, and we, you know, finished with three. But I thought Flacco looked good other than the interception. That interception was rough. But, you know, Emmanuel Sanders, he had a great game yesterday, but I think he should have made more of an effort to, you know, maybe tackle Kyle Fuller there instead of letting him just get the ball there, you know, kind of bounce it around to himself. I expected Emmanuel to try to go tackle him. But overall, it's obviously it's disappointing. And, you know, thinking that you have that game in the bag and, you know, my friend's a good Bears fan. I was texting. I was like, let's go, Flacco. Flacco was clutch. He was. He did everything he had to do at the end of the game for us to win the game. The offense did their job.
I want to attack you on that point. I don't think Flacco, yes, by definition, might have been called clutch. But I don't know. Clutch quarterbacks don't throw killer picks in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was a killer pick. But that last drive.
And I truly think if he hadn't thrown that interception, they would have won that game.
Probably.
I know that there were other things like the roughing the passer call, which obviously you and I are both going to have a problem with, but I hate the people that just blame games on the refs.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna blame it on the refs.
They could have won that game several times and they just never really finished drives. And a lot of that was Joe Flacco. Just he has not looked good in the red zone at all. He has looked actually quite bad. And I don't know, man. I'm not sure if I'm bought in on the Joe Flacco experience yet. I know a lot of Broncos are kind of sold on him after some late game heroics, but I don't know. I think he's played two quarters of football and that's about it.
Yeah. The offense hasn't been the big problem necessarily. We could have scored more yesterday, but obviously, you know, the defense, but we gave the defense the opportunity to get off the field there. It's 4th and 15. They didn't do it. The pass rush isn't getting there, like we said. But, you know, next week's a big game. It's definitely a must-win game for this team. If they lose, it's going to be another 4-12, 5-11 season. If they win, that'll help them get some momentum going into some winnable games the next few weeks.
Yeah, Jacksonville, especially if they deal Jalen Ramsey, that's an interesting trade that just got announced.
Yeah, I saw that
today. Especially if they're without Jalen Ramsey, the Jags is a winnable game and a game I think the Broncos
at home.
But I think there's a real chance they start 1-7. I don't know. The schedule is tough.
But you know, you got to get your wins. You know, yesterday was a winnable game. The Raiders was a winnable game. There's a chance. I mean, there's a realistic expectation. They should be 2-0 right now.
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely agree with that. Let's go over some of the NFL trade talks currently. And with that, one of those two vaunted secondary players, let's start with Minka Fitzpatrick. Apparently he is on his on his way to becoming a he's on his way to sorry to becoming a non-Miami Dolphin. Well, I don't know why I am stumbling over my words tonight. I am having a mini stroke every time I talk. Minka Fitzpatrick, where do you think he gets dealt to by tomorrow, apparently?
I have no idea, man. I think that everybody says the Eagles could see that. I'd love to see the Broncos make a play for him, but you know, Elway's not going to do that.
I was thinking about that. Like, I don't think I'd move any draft capital for anyone at this point, Tristan. Like,
I probably wouldn't.
We might have a very valuable draft pick at the end of the year. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't trade for Jalen Ramsey unless you could get him with that Steelers third, which I think you could. And Yeah, I wouldn't move for anyone. I wouldn't make a trade for anyone unless it was with that Steelers third. I wouldn't trade any of our original picks because I think we're going to have great draft position this year.
Yep, I agree.
And I just think to trade for someone right now, this is not a team that is like one or two pieces away from being a Super Bowl team. This is a team that clearly has a ton of holes and is not really ready to go. Right. Anyways, finishing up here, I do want this to be about an hour show. So we might talk a little bit more about some other games as well. Two teams we know nothing about. I'd like to go over that for each of us because I think that's really interesting, teams that we haven't really gotten any takeaways from in the first 2 weeks. And I'd like to start with you.
Well, I already talked about mine, but
I know you had two.
Yeah, the Bears and the Falcons. I talked about them.
All right. Yeah, I think the Falcons are interesting and potentially a team we – could know more about at some point, but I do agree there's not a ton to go off right now because their offense doesn't look great and their defense, while it got some key stops last night, is not the best in the NFL. For me, it's the Detroit Lions. This team's undefeated, but I don't know, man. The Chargers dominated them for a large portion of the game on Sunday, and they got kind of lucky with a late game Matthew Stafford performance that kind of saved them. So I'm just really unsure on the Detroit Lions, and Walker Kelly, good friend of the program, it was telling me Matthew Stafford has played like a top 10 quarterback these first two games. I don't know if I'd necessarily agree with that. I still haven't gotten a chance to watch that Detroit-Arizona game, but the Chargers game, I didn't think he looked overly great. I didn't think he made that many great throws. I'm not sure that he's a top 10 quarterback right now, and it's concerning to me that you base your team on this run defense – and they got gashed on the ground by the Chargers. The Chargers ran all over the Detroit Lions, even late into the game. Austin Eckler had 66 yards in the attempt, and I know that doesn't seem like a lot compared to what the Colts gave up, but they also gave up about 59 yards to Justin Jackson and some running room to Phillip Rivers. Their defense did not have the greatest day, and I just don't know if I buy this Chargers team, this Lions team, I mean, yet. I don't know if I buy the Chargers either. But, yeah, that would be my first team that I don't think I know a whole lot about.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch the game. But, I mean, it sounds like there was a late fumble by Eckler, I think, that helped the Lions out. But I don't really know much about the Lions either, you know. It's they're a hit or miss team. We'll see. We'll learn more about them as the season goes on, but no real takeaways from them thus far.
Yeah, moving on to the 49ers. I would say that they are a team that, even though they dominated the Bengals, I don't know. I don't know if I buy into them yet. And Jimmy Garoppolo had a nice day, 297 yards, 3 touchdowns, made some good throws. The running game was spectacular. Matt Breida had a good day. Raheem Mostert had a good day. I'm forgetting the third guy who ran for Jeff almost 100 yards.
Was it Jeff Wilson?
Yes, Jeff Wilson had a good day, even though he didn't quite get as close to 100 yards as I thought. It was a much bigger presence in the running game, in the passing game. I just think that – I don't know, man. It is – been kind of a wild season with the San Francisco 49ers this far, and I'm not really sure if they're gonna be that great playoff team or not, but it's interesting that they're 2-0 early, and I don't know a ton about them.
Yeah, I don't know. They're Jimmy G I mean, they dominated the Bengals yesterday, but I'm not really sure that we can take a lot away from that game. I want to see them play some higher competition. They've had two pretty easy games thus far, but we'll see when they get to, you know, into the Seahawks and the Rams, those kind of games. We'll see how they play there. But I mean, they're always going to have a shot if Jimmy G's healthy, I think, but interested to see. I'm worried about George Kittle. He hasn't really had too big of a role in the offense yet. Maybe him and Jimmy G kind of aren't on the same page like he was with the backup QBs last season, but we'll see with him. He's a talented player. I believe he'll turn it around.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And with that, I think we'll call it a show. We didn't get to every game, of course, this week. With the new Monday format, we never really will. And we only stuck between about four different games this week, which I'm sorry about. We will get to the teams that we didn't talk about on Wednesday with Brian Willis. We'll be talking about every single team. We'll probably recap some of their week two performances. And we'll go into previewing week three. But until then, enjoy Monday Night Football. It should be a ton of fun. And Tristan, where can people find you on Twitter?
At TBeckman24 and on Instagram at ChefTV24.
All right. Well, again, thank you very much for listening. I thought it was important to get an episode out Monday just because of all the colossal NFL news that has happened with Drew Brees being out, which we talked about a little bit, with Big Ben now being out for the season, with Minka Fitzpatrick on the trade block, with Jalen Ramsey on the trade block. A lot going on as far as NFL news goes right now, and I just wanted to touch on all that today. We will be back Wednesday with more talk about all these teams. The NFL season is an ongoing slog, and we will get to all of it. Until then, we will see you next time. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod, and follow me on Twitter at Eric18Utah. Check us out on Wednesday. We will see you guys then. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.